Scared or not, the two of them made a pretty thorough investigation. They collaborated on a diagram of the shed's interior, and when Kurt later complimented Sandy on it, Sandy nodded and agreed that it had been a good one. Good enough to take into court, actually. Still, a lot of the lines on it were wavery. Their hands began to shake almost from the moment they entered the shed and didn't stop until they were back out again. They opened the trunk because it had been open when Archie first looked in, and although it was empty as ever, they took Polaroids of it. They likewise photoed the thermometer, which by then had gotten all the way up to 70 degrees, mostly because Tony thought Kurt would want them to. And they took pictures of the corpse in the corner, took them from every angle they could think of. Every Polaroid showed that unspeakable single eye. It was shiny, like fresh tar. Seeing himself reflected in it made Sandy Dearborn feel like screaming. And every two or three seconds, one of them would look back over his shoulder at the Buick Roadmaster. When they were done with the photos, some of which they took with the yardstick lying beside the corpse, Tony shook out one of the garbage bags. "Get a shovel," he said. "Don't you want to leave it where it is until Kurt?"
"Probationary Trooper Wilcox can look at it down in the supply closet," Tony said.
His voice was oddly tight, strangled almost, and Sandy realized he was working very hard not to be sick. Sandy's own stomach took a queasy little lurch, perhaps in sympathy. "He can look at it there to his heart's content. For once, we don't have to worry about breaking the chain of evidence because no district attorney is ever going to be involved. Meantime, we're scooping this shit up." He wasn't shouting, but a raw little edge had come into his voice. Sandy took a shovel from where it hung on the wall and slid the blade beneath the dead creature. The wings made a papery and somehow terrible crackling sound. Then one of them fell back, revealing a black and hairless side. For the second time since the two of them had stepped in, Sandy felt like screaming. He could not have told why exactly, but there was something deep down in his head, begging not to be shown anymore. And all the time, they were smelling it. That sour, cabbagey reek. Sandy observed sweat standing out all over Tony Shandink's forehead in fine little dots. Some of these had broken and run down his cheeks, leaving tracks like tears.
"Go on," he said, holding the bag open. "Go on now, Sandy. Drop it in there before I lose my groceries."